Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Love is Blind, Season 5, Episode 6 Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
5 episodes in, we've seen the couples that are going to be there. The 3 main couples, right? Our main cast members, we've got 6 of them. 3 couples, 6 people.
That's how that works. Look at you. Look at the big brain on Brad.
I know, man. Look at me. And they're in Mexico. They've had their get together. How you feeling about this right now as we pick up in episode 6?
Well, I'm wondering what else they're going to introduce, because I haven't seen a show. A season of Love is Blind was only 3 couples.
Right.
Right. So I'm like, okay, they got to add some more drama to this somehow. So I'm wondering what they're going to do. But looking at the 3 couples, for the most part, 2/3 of them are having a ball.
Which is why I'm really thinking, are they bringing back another couple? And and we'll find out as we go through this episode, is there another couple that could potentially be there? Because we know more couples propose. Like, I mean, who knew last season that Josh proposed to Monica? I didn't.
Right, right. I didn't know that either. So maybe there's a sleeper couple that they're going to try to slip on in.
And they'll be like, who the hell are y'all? Well, let's get to the couples we do know. And one of the couples having fun, I think probably the most fun, right? Lydia and Milton. And they are getting ready to go out. And when I say go out, just go out and hang out. And Lydia wants to match. This was the worst conversation ever and worst argument ever, which was playful, playful, playful. And I like how Milton stood his ground. And then when she's like, yeah, well, pink matches with everything. He goes, yeah, that's why you're old, because you don't know about new fashion. I love these. I love the chemistry between these two, man. They can still have fun. They're playful.
They are. And Milton's not going to put up with a lot of her bossy crap, which I like and respect, because that's one of the main things I don't like about Lydia. But that whole conversation sounded like a mom talking to their child. You know, I want you to wear the black shorts. No, mom, I want to wear my gray ones with my pink shirt. Like, it just sounded like a kid talking to his mom about, no, I don't want to wear that. And then why do you have to wear matching outfits? And the way that she's so pushy and bossy about things, that's what annoys me about her.
Yeah.
He said no. He doesn't want to do it. Por favor. Por favor. Why? He doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Just move on.
That's why I know that she irks you so much. Because for you, it's that I already said no once. I've said it twice now. Don't make me say it 3 times. That would be you.
There bet not be another no coming out of my mouth.
I just don't like that bossy.
I don't like that bossy personality that she has, and she tries to blame it on being Puerto Rican. It's like, no, you are a problem. And if you can just admit, hey, I have some issues, I need to work on some things, I tend to be bossy, but I'm trying to work on that, I would have a totally different outlook on Lydia.
Yeah.
But she's just like, this is who I am, but yet cries because no one will love her, because no dude wants to put up with that. Not every dude. You got to find the right dude that's okay with that. And so far, it seems like it's Milt.
Yes, and the fact that they're still able to be playful, and even in that space, still be playful, and he's able to get his jabs back in because she's throwing that young look at him. He's like, okay, well, that's because you're old. That's all. It was interesting watching them even throughout this episode, and even later on when they're having dinner, and watching them just kind of nerd out over college courses.
Yeah, I think she said she took me. He asked her if she studied astrology. She said she took meteorology, and he was like, oh, was that 2000 level? She's no, 3000 level. And the look on Milton's face was like, I'm calling BS on that, because I thought she was lying. And she's like, I didn't take any 2000 level courses. Why is that? Because I'm too smart. Right there. Stop it. Stop it.
And I think part of that, like you like to say, it's probably the editing, right? It maybe in these elective courses. And maybe she's talking about an elective course. Because I remember at UTSA, when I was taking philosophy classes, where there are literally five of us in the class. So these weren't the 1,000 or 2,000. These are the people who are majoring in these and us taking these as electives. And that may be what she's talking about, because remember, she's a geologist. She's not a meteorologist. So I get what she's saying, that's probably for her electives. And they may probably be talking about electives, and she's saying like, look, no, I didn't take any 2,000 of them. I'm not taking that. Like, I wasn't going to take intro to philosophy. No, give me something. Let me learn a little bit more. So I think that's what she meant in that space.
Oh, maybe. I think you're wrong, but maybe.
You don't like her.
I had one semester at Houston Tillotson that I had a 4.0. Uh-huh. It wasn't because I'm too smart. It was because, I worked really hard that semester and studied. But
what were you taking?
Just to say that, I took what, those 18 credit hours that semester? So I took a full load, but I just wouldn't say that. And just the way she comes across, I'm too smart, I'm too this, it's just annoying. Even if it was a guy, if Milton was like, well, look, I'm 24, but I'm a genius, and I'm smart, and that would annoy me too. But Milton seems to be more humble, where Lydia, to me, doesn't.
Well, they also, you got to understand that they're in this intellectual space, and in that, when they're there having this convo, because it wasn't something that he was like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. No, because I'm sure they have these nerdy conversations in the pods. They were talking about crap that neither of us knows what the hell they were talking about, but they did. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Nerd out. Have the conversation. Just not a Lydia fan. I've said it.
Yeah, we know. And no matter, you're like, why are you breathing? That's what you're saying every time you see her on the screen. No. Why are you even breathing?
No, I don't wish any ill will on that woman. I don't want anything bad to happen to that woman. I just don't care for her by what how she's being portrayed on the show. She could be as sweet as punch in person. I just think that this whole persona and attitude, that's who she is. And I couldn't be around it.
You are Keke Palmer right now. Sorry to this woman. next couple, Taylor and JP. This looks a little interesting when they're getting ready to go four wheeling. I've never seen the two person four wheel like that, but it was good to kind of see them going. I don't know about that bridge they went over, because just an inch to the right, that could have been bad, or inch to the left, it could have really been bad. And you know, even though he's like, hey, you wanna pop a wheelie? No, your wife's on the back. What is wrong with you? She's scared.
No, I'm sorry. JP even makes four-wheeling look boring.
he wanted to spice it up. He wanted to pop a wheelie. No? Okay.
Spice it up by talking to her. Something. Make it fun. He just looks boring. So it is what it is.
He was struggling to talk, and then finally admits that he was more comfortable in the pods, which, duh.
Well, they're sitting there eating their picnic right after the four-wheeling. And even still, she's telling him, hey, well, you're not really talking much to me. Mm-hmm. Why is it you dated in the real world before, right? Were you like this too with these other relationships? And so she's trying to get information out of him. I feel like she was the interviewer. So tell me about your fear.
Right.
What are you happy about? What is one of your fears? So you're just going to leave. And I'm like, well, JP, what are you doing to make her want to stay?
Exactly. Well, to Taylor's credit, she's like, okay, I'm going to give it some more time to see if things change. What is the definition of insanity again? They get back to the hotel, and finally JP opens up, tells Taylor, look, you've had one foot out the door the whole time because of the awkwardness. And then blames her for not changing her mind.
Yeah, that whole conversation was crazy. And she kept saying, look, let's stop talking about the reveal, Jay. But that's what it wound up being about. And this is where I walked away from this conversation saying, JP, you really didn't like her. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. Because he's tried to say it's the makeup and the fake eyelashes, that she just looked fake when she came out for the reveal. She's not worn makeup since.
Right.
And he still doesn't like her. So just say that.
what's funny is because I'm like, oh, well, he says, oh, I like your freckles. It's like, oh, I'm not wearing makeup. Yeah, let's do more of that, right? But to her credit, when he says all that stuff about the fake stuff, he never tells her she's beautiful the whole time they're there, after he sees her without makeup. She did what any woman would do and pretty herself up for the reveal. right?
Right.
She even felt comfortable enough around him, even though he made everything awkward, to not wear makeup around him. And still, mm-hmm. like you said, he did nothing. When he had the opportunity to say something, how does that carry on? I like the fact that she called BS on him for that.
Because it has to be. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that, okay, so you saw me for the first time, all this makeup on, you think I look fake. Great. Mm-hmm. I've not worn makeup since, and you still have an issue. You know, and ooh, sorry, I got makeup all over your jacket. But
yeah,
I think that dude is just crazy. And it's not the makeup. But I guess, what can he say? What can he say? Hey, I'm just not attracted to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, he could.
You know what I mean? He could. That's going to, I mean, he already looks bad on TV. He would look worse.
Well, okay. Here's the difference, though. We almost judged her. And I even saw, what's his name? Tate's Take, who was like, when she said, made a comment about his gap, he's like, he's got the smallest gap we've ever seen on TV ever in life. Like, yeah. But she had said, had she seen him in person, at first, she wouldn't have given him time of day because of the gap. So I think even on that, yeah, it may have made him seem a little shallow, but at least it would have been real if he just said he wasn't attracted to her. But blaming it on the makeup when she hasn't worn it was a cop-out. She gets upset. She's like, look, man, I'm going to sleep in another room tonight. But what I thought was really funny was when she goes, I want to thank you for talking to me. Finally. And I think this was the most friendly end to an argument I've ever seen in my life. You know, because, yep. You know, she gives him a hug. They hug before they leave. But I like the fact that she also said to him, look, because he's like, I wish we could go back to the pods. Like, no, the pods are not the real world. This is the real world. I'm in front of you. Friggin' touch me, you creepy bastard.
No, what he really said was, I wish I can go back to that place where I couldn't see you.
Yes. Translation.
That's what that translates to. And I think at that moment when she said, hey, I'm going to sleep somewhere else. And when she thanked him for at least talking and gave him a hug, that moment she was done. She didn't want to sleep next to him. But that moment she had already decided that she was done.
Well, she took them two big ass suitcases and rolled them down the hallway. You knew she was done because those were some... like she had dead bodies in those suitcases.
I'm not coming back for shit. Yeah.
I'm taking the
soap.
She took
everything with her. She's like, no, I'm not coming back.
Oh, my God. Well, the next morning...
take these towels. I'm going to remember Cancun. Never coming back.
Matter of fact, that's my role. The next morning, they get together, meeting in the lobby, which apparently is the deadest lobby in the country because there's nobody in the lobby but these two, right? JP at least takes part of the blame and says he needs to work on things. Part of the blame.
He does. And for somebody, if he really wanted her, he would have came out total different conversation, a much better opener than what he did. And even his opener was born.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to keep trying and go back to Houston and just continue getting better. And then just looks at her with those crazy eyes. So she's just sitting there just like, I'm not hearing it. Don't care. She was done. And good for her. I'm glad that she chose herself over this situation. And I hope that this doesn't put her back in that negative space where she's not loving herself, because she was not the problem. The problem is JP.
Indeed, because she said he's not the person she fell in love with, and she was absolutely right. Now, the thing that irked me is that he goes, you know, I kind of wish that we'd hash it out on the first date. No, you should have hashed it out on the first day. What was all of that? I get it. You didn't like her makeup. You start complimenting her without it first, immediately. But even though, to his credit though, people still remember, what was that? Married at First Sight, was it San Diego? And he was like, he preferred her without makeup. Fellas.
Oh.
Yeah. You got to find a way to get to that point without using it. But we know that was an excuse. We know that was just him being awkward. And I will say, at least Taylor gave him the ring back. She's like, I don't want this cheap crap.
I know, Jackie. Pay attention.
Now, here's the interesting thing that I thought Taylor said, though. She said, I could have sat and talked to him forever in the pods. But when they touched and hugged in person, she knew there was nothing there. She knew that at the reveal there was nothing there. But she was still willing, because of what happened in the pods, to go through the process and see. And he just couldn't deliver. It's all on him. It really is on him.
It really is. But I don't understand what happens. That's why I can't wait for the reunion to find out what was the real reason, JP, because it could have been the makeup, right? But he was awkward the moment they met in person. And I think that the chemistry could have been there if he wasn't weird. Mm-hmm. But he's not saying anything. It's just kind of awkward. So then maybe that puts her into her headspace, because she even said after the reveal, she was crying because she thought he wasn't attracted to her.
Right. Maybe he was just awkward at the reveal. But could it be that when they got to Mexico, remember when they got there and they got in the room the first time and they're kissing and she kept kissing him and he kept kissing her and they're like, so this, I think he made a reference to something about breath. And she's like, well, I know mine's probably bad too. That could have been the turnoff.
Her pH?
Well, they both have been on the plane. They've been eating other stuff. They hadn't had a chance to brush their teeth. Maybe that was it. Who knows? And that could have been like...
I just ate a bag of corn nuts. I don't know. We
Maybe she had onions in her eggs that morning. He's like, oh, that would end it for me.
Well, she called out his breath.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I probably have it too.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is, you know, but I think there's more to the story than what JP is putting on, because he felt first date with Taylor, she was his number one.
Exactly.
She was it. Mm-hmm. And so there had to have been some type of chemistry they had in the pod that should have overflowed into meeting in person. And maybe he's just awkward and weird. But I'm glad that Taylor chose herself and walked away.
Indeed. Well, these two chose each other and they seem to be going strong. Stacey and Izzy, they went to go play putt-putt in Mexico. And Stacey keeping that convo dirty. Just...
See, this is where she's like one of the guys.
Yes.
With her humor, right? She's like one of the guys with her humor. She kept talking about big sticks and Izzy stick and all these other different, you know, sexual innuendos. And I guess that's cool. But when you're 20, when you're young.
But he, you know, is. She's 29. 33. He's 29. And
yeah.
But the thing I thought that was very telling was when she said she thought he would come on strong, a lot stronger in the bedroom. I'm like,
Yeah, she's saying she wants some more. She wants some more from him in the bedroom. You know, just grab me, whatever, bend me up, do whatever. So I don't know what all that means. I have ideas, but she's kind of telling him, hey, I need more.
Right.
You know, in the bedroom. So I thought that was interesting. A great conversation to have.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about the things that you like when it comes to intimacy.
Exactly.
But I don't know if that maybe hurt Izzy's feelings or something. Because, I mean, that would get in your head.
It would.
After all, you want more? Fine. I'm going to do some push-ups. I'll get ready.
I don't think he needs to do some more push-ups. He just needs to mat up a little bit. But, you know, whatever it is, she lets it go. Hey, I'm in love with you. I was like, whoa. Did she really just have some feelings and say she's in love with Izzy?
Yeah, she started to open up more about the feelings and all that stuff, which is great, because at this stage of the relationship, you need to have that, because soon you're going to be back in Houston and back in reality. And so you need to have that kind of bond to carry over whatever you're going to see or go through when you get into Houston. So good that she is actually expressing it, because she even said in the pod that this is not normal for her, comfortable for her to share emotion. So I'm glad that she's doing it.
Step forward in the right direction, and that step back to Houston, as you just referenced, and moving in together. And then let's just stick with Stacey and Izzy while we're here, especially when they're talking about these roses. And she's like, yeah, well, I want neutral colors. Yeah, she comes off as a neutral color girl. Very neutral.
You think so?
Very plain, yes.
Well, she's maybe just not super girly into flowers and all that kind of stuff.
Well, she wants the flowers. She just doesn't want the red and the pink. And I get it. I mean, I kid when I say that, but I mean, I get it in not wanting, I don't need the flashy this and the this that people usually want. Like, that's not her thing. She doesn't want the red roses and the pink roses and the bright yellow stuff. She's like, look, neutral colors. Give me some of those. I think about it. But then one of the things that kind of got me was when they were going to her house, right? Because that was when they were in their shared space. They're heading towards her house. And Izzy's so excited to see Stacy's house because that's going to be my house too. And I was like, was Johnny right about Izzy?
Yeah, he kind of comes off like a mooch, doesn't he? Ooh, I can't wait.
That's what it felt like. I'm just I thought it was just me. I thought it's because I don't like Izzy.
He comes across like a mooch, like he's about to come up. But she's about to let me upgrade you. Upgrade.
I can see where I could put this here. I'm like, okay, there's a lot. Then Stacy has the uncomfortable conversation that no one wants to have, as she says, you know, but the money conversation. First thing I get when I see this is, wait a minute, the party girl. All of a sudden, I'm seeing her in a different light because I'm realizing that she's obviously financially set, saves for a rainy day, and it's pretty obvious that's not Izzy.
Well, no, I think even in the pods, I thought Stacy probably had her stuff together. Mm-hmm. And then when they get to her house, we see her three-story home, her brass silverware. Brass silverware. I was just like, okay, I guess it's not silverware, but I get it. Brass cutlery.
Brass silverware is hilarious, though.
Yeah, her brass silverware.
But look, okay, wait a minute. Did you not have any of that when you were growing up? Did your mom not have any of that when you were growing up? You had to clean those? These are just decorative that you clean with like Brasso and stuff like that?
Yes, she had silver, and I had to polish it, but I don't recall ever eating off of it. She had it, polished it, but I don't recall ever, hey, we're going to break out the silver.
It stayed in the curio cabinet, and you best not touch it.
Yeah, it's in a little drawer in the shrunk, you know, because everybody had shrunks in the 70s, right? So it's in a drawer in the shrunk. We had to polish that silver, but never did I just go, you know what, I'm going to eat my bowl of cereal off the silver spoon. literally. Yeah, so when she brings up the finance conversation, which I would have thought she's someone that probably would have dug into that a bit more in the pots,
right?
I would have thought she'd have asked some of these questions before, but when she's talking to him about, hey, so you're this potentially could be your home, how do you feel about bills and money and all that? So she's asking, like, do you save, do you all this? Now they probably didn't show it, but I'd have been like, hey, how much is in your 401k? Mm-hmm. How much do you save? How much do you make? So he's only been doing this job for, well, we don't even know more about his job, just as insurance agent. So we don't have any details yet.
Well, here's the thing about
he wants to do everything 50-50, even dinner.
I definitely want to get to that 50-50 dinner thing, but the 401k conversation, I wouldn't want to have that conversation while the cameras are rolling, regardless.
True.
Because regardless if they cut it or not, if she had asked that question, like, we'll talk about that later. We're definitely not talking about it here now. Now, if you talk, because you don't want everybody in your business in that space, right? And he's fine with 50-50 on the bills, the $20,000 for the HVAC if it happens. Okay, yeah, I didn't believe him. And then she said, when we got to dinner, you know, yeah, we just 50-50, even on dinner. I'm like, guys still think like that? 50-50 on dinner?
He thinks like that because when you don't have money, you think that way. You know, if you were, and I'm not saying money is in, he needs to be wealthy,
right?
But I've never gone into any dating situation with anybody with the thought process of this is going to be 50-50. Mm-hmm. If I'm dating someone, I plan to pay for everything. Mm-hmm. If I take us, we're going out, I'm paying for it. Now, if they break out their card and they pick up the check, great. But I have no expectation.
Yes.
I have no expectation that they're going to pay for anything. You know, now repairs to the home. Yeah, it's your house. And you need some help. Okay. Maybe I can help. But for everything that she's doing in her house, like he's talking about, he wants that 85-inch TV. And she's like, yeah, you got to buy it. you know, that's the million-dollar question.
No, but she's right in that. If you want this big-ass TV, you better buy it, because this is my house. I didn't want that 85-inch. I was fine with my 65. But it's right. I get you. It's her house. But if you're both planning to live there as a couple, it becomes both of your house, then yes, you do have to help take care of some of that stuff. Does that mean that your name automatically goes on the lease? It doesn't have to, but I get where you're thinking in the sense of, am I helping preserve this house that I don't have any ownership in? I don't know, man. If you're planning for the long term, it was great questioning on her part. And I like what she was doing. Because obviously, she's accustomed to seeing men, realizing that her family has money, her dad has money, letting them take care of everything. Because even she talked about, like, no. And I don't think it was with her, because she deals with people who she's never had a man do 50-50 with her, she said, right? For dinner. Like, no. What do you mean? I've never gone 50-50. Nobody's ever asked me to do that. And rightfully so. Even guys, first date, it's never 50-50. Unless y'all are just friends. If you're going on a friendly date, yeah, separate checks, please. It doesn't, but this space where he is, you can tell immediately they're nowhere on the same level. Nowhere on the same level.
No, this is why I always encourage people, date within your budget. You can't afford Stacy. You can't afford Stacy. And so Stacy says, you know, I want someone to treat me like I have nothing. Well, it's kind of hard to do that. You're rolling two Mercedes, a Mercedes SUV and another Mercedes. You have a three-story home. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have something. Yeah. But I get what she's saying is she doesn't want a guy to think that they can just mooch off of her. And I totally understand that. But Izzy should be thinking to himself, hey, I got some things I'm trying to clean up on my credit. I don't think we're ready yet for all of this. And there's nothing wrong with that. But date within your budget. You can't afford a woman who wants nice things. As she says, when she travels, she's a first class kind of person. She wants to get top of the line experience where she goes somewhere. If he can't afford that, then you might need to find someone that's a little couple steps down.
Yeah, because it even sounds like she's trying to convince herself about Izzy and the money and making it work, right? Because, and you hear her just kind of like, yeah, like, it is an uncomfortable conversation to have. I'm glad they had it. There'll be more to be had.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. Definitely going to have to continue that conversation.
As we get back to Lydia and Milton, and they're in their place in Houston, their shared space. And Milton is just sitting on the counter and she's like, yo, what are you doing? And he's like, no, I do this all the time. It's more comfortable. I'm 6'7". It's, you know, sitting in a chair is not comfortable for me. I think that was a pretty telling, because she's just like, why are you sitting on the countertop? Why? But it's you're not 6'7". I'm not 6'7". I can see why that becomes a little bit more comfortable for him. But I think the first big test for them comes when Milton gets that note that he's now on night shift, where he's got to go in at 6:30 and she doesn't get home till 5:30, 6 o'clock. So that means they're not going to see each other.
Which could be a win for Milton. So
you are such an ass.
Could be a win for Milton. He gets a little break, you know, gets a chance to recharge his battery. Well, and what I liked about that exchange is, you know, that's the reality of this experiment right now that we're living together. And how do we make our work lives and our relationship work, like what any couple has to deal with. And so I liked that. What I liked most about what Milton had to say was that he makes good money, but his work-life balance is not there. Right. And that's something that's so important to a lot of people that want to make a lot of money. It's great. Go out there and hustle and make as much money as you want, but just realize the more money you make, your work-life balance is not going to be the same. So at 24, he recognizes that, which is smart, because a lot of 24-year-olds I know, they want to make six figures, but they want to, you know, unlimited PTO. They want to be able to shut down at 5, and they want to work from home.
Well, and also at 24, he's the youngest person in there. So they're all like, well, Milton will do it. He's a single guy. He doesn't have this. And then now this dynamic is changing for him. What I do like about what he did in that space, because you saw the look on her face when she realizes they're not going to get to spend a lot of time together. He's like, well, look, it's going to be, what was that? I think 4 days that he has to do this. But he'll have three straight days off or three or four straight days off. And she's, so he's like, we'll have time. We'll make this work. And I like the fact that right in that moment, they made that happen.
Right. Which is what good couples should do. So kudos to Milton for how he's handled it.
The mature man that he is.
Yes.
Then they get to his apartment. And she walks in immediately, and it's like a flashback for me because I remember these rugs, man. She looks at the rugs like, oh, I hate it. Oh, I hate your lack of decoration. It's a guy. I mean, you don't need to put, not everybody stages their house like Terrell.
Thank you. But even my place is more decorated than Milton's. You know, at least I have stuff on the walls.
Yeah.
Things like that. But when people do this part, when they get to see each other's house, mm-hmm. I think it's rude to start talking about the person's rug.
Yes,
I've never got invited to someone's house for the first time and walked in and be like, ugh, why do you have that on the wall? That's disgusting. You know,
well, I'm like, why doesn't have a filter?
That's a problem because you don't need to say that. You know, you don't need to say that. Just you don't like the rug. Okay, great. But she was making a big deal out of the rug. And I agree, the rug is awful. Yeah. But just ease up on the rug. It's not that big a deal. His room doesn't have anything in it.
Yeah.
You know, just nothing on the wall. And then, of course, they have the microscope right out there in the on the island. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is that really where you keep that? Or was that staged for when they came over? Because that would
Well, I mean, who knows? It maybe was going to take up too much space in the room where there's absolutely nothing. There's nothing to put it on. But interesting thing when his roommate, Josh, comes home, right? And then Lydia tries to give him the rugs immediately. You can keep the rugs. But I got to say, Josh is a hell of a wingman, right?
Yep.
I like when, you know, she says something in Spanish, she goes, he's like, oh, what do you say? Oh, she said you're a sexy beast.
Yeah.
I'm like, now that's a wingman. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, no. He was the wingman when she said, what about these Playboy magazines? Oh, those are mine.
Yeah.
And then Milton just as well. I was like, now, I do have a question. Why does he have that stack of ones? Just sitting there.
He said for the strip club.
That's a large stack of ones to just have. And how often are you going to the strip club that you keep stack of that stack looked like it could have been almost $100 in $1 bills.
Okay. The man makes good money.
So I get it. But why just have a stack of ones just sitting out?
He doesn't spend it on anything in the damn house, apparently.
But I'm saying, why do you have just a stack of ones sitting on top of the bathroom counter?
He's got half rent to pay. He's got a roommate. He's got money to throw around. Trust me.
I still don't see a point in having half, you know, big stack of $1 bills on your bathroom counter. Maybe in a nightstand in your drawer makes sense. Just out in the bathroom like that? I just thought that was weird.
And maybe it was just so you could inspect it for perfumes and Bath and Body Works sprays.
Now, here's where the youth of Milton comes out. He looks at his roommate and goes, so we trying to get Liddy? Like, did he say Liddy?
Well, yeah. Well, that's the term. That's the term these young folks use. And Lydia's like, no, it's Lydia.
So that's a real term that people are saying? Like, let's get Liddy?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought that was a Milton term.
No. Nope.
I've never heard. Well, I'm not young, but I just haven't heard that. You want to get, if someone came to me and said, hey, let's get Liddy tonight. I'm like, no. Not going anywhere with you. We're gonna get Liddy. I'm gonna drink some whiskey, but
it's a real term. Yes,
that's I guess I'm just old.
Yeah, cheers. Pretty much. Oh my God! Look, we get to see Aaliyah with her natural hair and her meeting up with Uche. First of all, because we know how much you love braids, how much do you love her natural hair?
It's beautiful. I like that look better than I did the braids.
Yeah. Great look. She's there looking nice and ready. And I hate it, absolutely hate it, that when this conversation starts off, it sounds like she's begging this arrogant ass back. It's, oh, I hated it so bad.
I was wondering, like, I guess they knew what each other looked like because maybe you know, social media or something. But I'm like, how did Uche walk in and know, oh, there she is? Probably because the camera crew is sitting there like, right here.
You walk in, oh, there's a camera crew there. I'm assuming that's it.
I'm assuming that that's Aaliyah. Yeah, no, I mean, Aaliyah's beautiful. She has really sexy lips, too. But yeah, she's gorgeous. I like the hair like that. And I was curious to see how this conversation's going to go. And now she's just, you know, she still loves him and I want to be with him and she would still marry him. I was like, oh, so is this going to be the couple that comes back?
That's what I was thinking. But at the same time, it aggravated me because why are you begging this man? It sounds like you're begging this man. And is she the one that's really desperate because all the stuff he put her through and lied to her about? And then they cut us off and told us, next episode. Like you.
Neville's like, hey, hold that thought.
Well, look, tomorrow, episode 7 drops. I'll recap of that and we'll see what comes out of this conversation. Something tells me Uche will be Uche and he will Uche.
Uche's gonna Uche. Yep.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.